I seldom begin a message by addressing any individual, but I just got off the phone a few moments before we began speaking with a dear brother, Jay Holzhauser, who lives in the Raleigh area and who will listen to this message on Free Grace Radio. He's been diagnosed with a condition very hard for anyone to face. And I can't imagine all the ways and the directions his mind and emotions are being pulled in these days. And others of you here facing things that I can't imagine where you're at. The beautiful thing is, for Jay, I know that his heart is anchored in Christ. Mind is one thing, emotions is another thing, but his heart is anchored in Christ. And Jay knows even in this, he can afford to trust God. Fools have to curse God at a time like this. Believers are brought to trust him, knowing that he can't do wrong. So to Jay and to all the rest of us, I trust the Lord will use the message today to strengthen us and help us as we pass through this world of sin and sorrow. I've entitled this message, Cherished and Chosen. In spite of men's ignorance and religious preferences and, bottom line, hatred of God in his sovereignty, I know of no truth so comforting to God's children than this: he hath done for us what we need. He never said, you do it, you make me proud, you make me smile. No, he said, it is finished. I've done it. I've done it. Notice the first word we read in verse 13 is the conjunction but. A joining word, it means now the other side of the story. We spoke last week on the earlier part of this chapter, Antichrist, which means against Christ. Satan, in all his efforts to destroy and oppose God on every hand, and Adam's fallen race in general given to deception, loving unrighteousness and not loving the truth, and given by God a strong delusion that they might believe a lie and be damned justly. The only exception to this universally is God's cherishing and choosing from eternity an elect people for his name's sake, whom he calls his people, his children, his elect, chosen to salvation. So we have in the first part of the chapter Satan opposing God, and then sinners fitted for judgment, which all God has to do to leave any sinner fitted for judgment is to just leave us alone. Leave us alone. All it would take and all it would have taken for you to go to hell is for God to leave you alone. You wouldn't have had it any other way. But then we come this morning to the beautiful part of the chapter, saints certain for salvation. Sin has put us all in the first part of this chapter. But, that's the big word. But God. It's saying what Satan and sin have done is not all there is. God has done something. And that's what we praise Him for this morning. But, on the other hand, nevertheless, here's the rest of the story. Now this first part of verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. It's one of five times Paul thanks God for these believers at Thessalonica. First in the first epistle preceding this one, chapter 1 and verse 2, he says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Secondly, in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. And then still in the first letter, chapter 3 and verse 9, for what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. And then in this second epistle, the verse we're at, chapter 2 and verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. And then another time, I missed it, chapter 1 and verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. It's as if Paul has this emphasis on his mind and heart. Thank God for you. Now, while true believers are continually challenged with doubts and discouragement and even depression, Paul sees our rescue from sin and Satan as a miracle of God worthy of thanking Him for it continually and repeatedly. Let me just throw this in for the benefit of some of you, all of us really. Those who boast of never doubting have nothing to doubt. God's children have a warfare in our spirit continually. There are those who boast of never being discouraged. And I wonder if their boasting is in their deceived mind to have excelled in pleasing God in everything by their own commitment and conduct. May I say, a quickened soul has no such foolish idea. And those who deny that true believers can get depressed obviously have not a clue concerning what sin has done to us all. It's a very serious matter. And apart from God's sovereign grace, man, the crowning act of God's creation, has gone from most honorable of all the creation to the most despicable and filthy of all the creation. And while proud-hearted religion rushes on to its doom, I see this morning and wish I could more clearly see what a miracle of grace it is that any one of us is saved. Let me repeat that. Oh, to have our eyes opened, to be able to see clearly what a miracle of grace it is that God would come to the likes of you and I. So Paul says, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. Why? The next statement tells us, beloved, or brethren, beloved of the Lord. Brethren, beloved of the Lord. The Lord said in Jeremiah 31:3, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Blessed, good news, good news. He's saying, in spite of what Satan has done to you, in spite of what sin has done in you and with you, it changes not my love, which I set on you from eternity and to eternity. Here's what God's done. Satan got here too late. We look at our lives and think about all the damage that sin has done, and hopefully God will step in somewhere along the way. Oh no, God was in before any of it. Satan came too late. Because before any of that, Paul says, God hath from the beginning. Don't miss that. God hath from the beginning. Now, some try to explain that away, saying that it means from the beginning of your hearing and deciding to accept Christ. Upon that basis, God chose you. Oh no. From the beginning must be interpreted in the light of Ephesians 1:4, according as He, God the Father, hath chosen us who believe in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. God knew exactly where He was headed before He ever hung the stars. Acts 15:18, and I quote this to you pretty often, known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. He hadn't decided on anything since you've been here. That's how important you are. So what is it God did from the beginning? God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. And the you here, Paul is writing initially to the Thessalonian believers, but written by divine inspiration, part of God's holy word, it's all believers. Paul is not saying to all Adam's race, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. That's what some preach. And if that were true, then God's an extreme failure. Because so many have perished in their sins, and so many are perishing yet in their sin. The proud-hearted free willism so prevalent today says God chose us on the basis of looking down through the pages of time and seeing that we'd choose Him. Therefore, he chose us. You know what that does? That makes us the author of our salvation, not him. But that free willism really hangs itself. If God looked ahead and saw definitely what you'd do, your will is not free to change that. It has to occur. It was fixed back yonder, somewhere, by someone. But it wasn't you. You weren't back there to do it. It's in accordance with Ephesians 1:9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, wherein He hath purposed in Himself. In the mind and purpose of God, it was all there. God's the only one who was back there to purpose anything. It's in accordance with Romans 8:29. I'm giving you lots of scriptures now. For whom He did foreknow. Not what, but whom He did foreknow. He also did predestinate. That is, predetermine the destination. And what is it? To be conformed to the image of His Son. It's all in accordance with 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. Paul is writing to believers. That's who the us is. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all in accordance with James 1:18. Of His own will begat He us. We're saved this morning because He wanted to save us. And if you're one of God's children, you're thrilled to death about that. He purposed. So long before we ever wanted Him to do it. It's all in accordance with Ephesians 1:11. Being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. You say, this is strange stuff. No, this is the Bible. This is the teaching of God's Word. That this is all about Him getting your attention. Not Him being impressed with something you did. God forbid, if he could be impressed with something you did, it sure wouldn't be much to Him. He's impressed with what He did in His Son. Now this morning you can go somewhere, you can go most anywhere, matter of fact, and sit and be told Sunday after Sunday how to go about twisting God's arm and getting Him to save you. This Bible says He does so because He wants to. Or else you'll perish. You can't talk Him into it. And Paul doesn't say here, we thank You because You chose God. How special You are. No, he says, we thank God. Because He chose you. It's all in accordance with 2 Timothy 1:9. You can't argue with God's Word. I'm just reading it. He hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I repeat, the devil got here too late. We got here too late to make a decision, as you'll be encouraged to do a lot of places. Our father Adam made the decision for us. And by nature, we're all like him, preferring to run from God, not to him. Some of you this morning are still running from God instead of to him. You don't even have a clue, really, why you're even here today. I hope the Lord's got something better in mind than you do. But the Lord has you here. You better think about that. He has you here. The Bible is full of this. Full of this. And you're better off to believe this, God's Word. Than listen to so many that tries to explain it away. Election, chosen, God's people. Don't accuse God of being unfair. If he stopped it fair, we'd all go to hell. That would be fair. And that's what Paul is saying here. I thank God he went beyond fair. And he chose you in his son from eternity to be his child. To not perish in your sins. To not be damned like those in the first part of this chapter. And then you and I came along, and every last one of us have perfectly proved that we deserve to be damned. But God purposed something else. We live in the so-called Bible Belt, for those of you that didn't know it. Hardly ever hear that term anymore. And the reason, I guess, is because we live in the so-called Bible Belt that don't believe the Bible. They claim to be fundamental, Bible-believing, and at the same time begging you to give God a chance. God don't need a chance. He's decreed his will, and he's working his will. That's what all these verses I've given you are saying. Ephesians 1:11, he works in all things according to the counsel of his own will. Who tells God what to do? Nobody. Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah 46:9-10. I am God, and there is none else. None else. Religion says, oh yes, there's you. It's all up to you. God can only do what you let him do. But here's what he said. For I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. He's not making up his mind about anything along the way. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. That is God Almighty saying to Burger King and all the rest of us, I'll have it my way. They say, have it your way. God says, I'll have it my way. I can't find that God is struggling anywhere with anyone. Never has, never will. Now, what did God do to secure and make absolutely certain that these whom he had chosen would be saved? Well, he tells us in this verse, first, through sanctification of the Spirit. That means set apart. Set apart. It is God who took you and you and you and you and you. It is he that kept you from living and dying just like a whole bunch of heathens you grew up with. He set you apart. When did he do this? When you decided you'd be a nice person? Oh no, he couldn't wait that long. From eternity. Set apart. Chosen in Christ. Sanctification. It's the work of the Spirit of God. Paul is not thanking you and I for anything. He's thanking God for these miracles of grace. I know a lot of folks want to make this sanctification business your work. In other words, you quit cussing out loud and you quit this and you quit that and you become more and more religious and finally you get yourself sanctified. Paul says here it's the work of the Spirit of God through sanctification of the Spirit. He said in 1 Thessalonians 4:3 that our sanctification is God's will. Then he said we're to know how to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor. Not to do it for yourself, but to have a keen consciousness of what God has done, sending his Spirit to live in us. Not sanctify yourselves, but behave ourselves in sanctification, which the Spirit of God has accomplished. 1 Peter 1:2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. There it is. It's his work. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him, that is of God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us four things. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Wisdom. Righteousness. Who wants a wisdom of your own making? Righteousness. Who wants a righteousness of your own making? Sanctification. What fool wants a sanctification of your own making? And redemption. Who wants a redemption of your own making? Christ has made all this to us. We are sanctified, set apart in Christ. When? When we chose him? No, when he chose us. Paul says here he chose us to salvation. God's election itself, his choosing, is not salvation, but it is unto salvation. It's His purpose. It's His decree. It's His determination. It shall be done. It's done through first sanctification of the Spirit. And then in the end of the verse 13, belief of the truth. What truth? Not the truth of what most preachers say you must do, but the truth of what God has done in Jesus Christ. One great preacher said, the gospel message, the good news is not do, do, do. It's done, done, done. He sent His Son, His beloved Son, sinless, righteous, to be made sin for us, to shed His blood and die. For someone. And if you can't believe it, it's not for you. But if you can believe it, it's God's gift to you and for you. How did God see to it that you believed? And yet multitudes as intelligent as you are don't believe. How did this happen? Here's the answer. Again, it's God's doing. Philippians 1:29. It is given unto you to believe. You don't believe by effort. Too many things we want to believe and we say, I just can't make myself believe that about him or her. Believing is not by effort. And that's what Paul said. It is given you to believe. We can't even do that for ourselves. Or you can listen to this crowd that says, oh, it's simple. It's simple. All you got to do is believe. Well, yeah, all you got to do is believe you can jump over the moon. Does that mean you can do it? No. It's given. It's a gift. No wonder Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:18, and all things are of God. He's the only one that's done anything right. Who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ. Paul is really saying there's nothing to pat yourself on the back about. Your religious effort is not necessary. And your self-esteem is not the issue. We all think plenty enough of ourselves. But Paul says, what I think of you is beautiful. But it's because of what he's done for you, not what you've done for him. And this morning, to you that know and love the Lord, I thank God for you. You're beautiful. But I thank Him not for what you've made yourself. That's ugly. But I thank Him for you because of what He's done. What He's made you. So in the context of this chapter, while the unbelieving world is perishing in sin and deception and self-made religion, God is saving His people. Bless His holy name.